We're going to be teaching on transfiguration of Christ, the majestic glory. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? I hope he's watching. Hallelujah. It's not worth it if he's not watching. So, hallelujah. So the transfiguration of Christ, the majestic glory. That's it for today. Hallelujah. I just couldn't help it. He sent me the notes, so I got to just, you know. Yesterday said he said, I got something good, but I can't tell you because you'll be preaching it tomorrow. And I said, well, praise God. Hallelujah. But then he sent me the notes this morning, and I was like, oh. Hallelujah. So we'll press in. Hallelujah. You know, it's just so awesome to be in the house of God. It's so awesome to see what he's doing in everybody's life. And I thank you guys, when you come up and you begin to draw in, you begin to press in, I tell you what, it just prepares such an atmosphere in here. When there's an expectancy in our heart, God can do anything. When there's an expectancy in our heart, he's there to meet that need. He's there to meet that place. Why? Because you put the expectancy out there, and he's always wanting to answer into that. He's always wanting to speak and move himself into that. So when you show up, especially when you show up early in the morning, you're making a statement to the Lord. Is that I want what you got. And he wants to be able to deliver into those places. So I just encourage you in those things this morning. Brother, you ready? Okay. Hallelujah. So we do want to receive an offering this morning, and Pastor Andreas here we'll give him a title this morning. Hallelujah. He's got something cooked up, so he wants to step into that. Hallelujah. I love it when everybody participates throughout the sanctuary, and your participation is something that I love to see. Why? Because that means that we're coming to church with not just a need, but we're also coming with an answer. When we're coming with an answer, that's all right, buddy. You can cut me off. It's all right. No problem. But when we're coming with an answer, I know I just got to give them a hard time. It's my bad. When we're coming with an answer in our heart, then God has something he can already work with. Luke 10, verse 38. And as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was moreover listening to the Lord's word and seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Martha has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I think we're all familiar with this scripture. We've probably heard this taught a bunch of different times. I'm just using this as a kind of a lead-in to some other things, because one of the things that I want you to notice is that he's not really rebuking her for her effort. It's really about her attitude. It's the attitude. Because Martha is a doer. Okay? And I personally like doers. I like a lot of doers. I like to have a lot of doers around me, because things get done when there's doers around. And I know in my heart that I'm a doer. So I better like the doers. Because if something's going to get done, it takes a doer to get it done. It takes somebody, because if we're all sitting around praying for 50 hours a day, and then, you know, nothing's really actually getting done until we begin to move it by the Spirit. But at the same time, we gotta, there's somebody who has to physically enact that thing that gets done. So, what I'm trying to communicate this morning is not about the fact that she was doing something. It was about the fact that she was doing it with an attitude. Because, see, today what I really want to talk about is your yes. Your yes. Because, see, we need to protect our yes. See, it's what he says there. It starts out with the saying that it was Martha who, A, number one, had a home. We don't even know if Mary has a home. All we ever see Mary doing is hanging out with Martha at her house. So does Mary have a house? We don't know. But we do know that Martha had a house, probably because she was a doer. Because in this phrase, there's something that we need to understand, is that God is looking, and he wants us to know, it's not about what we do for him, it's about where our heart is in relation to him. He's more interested in our heart than he is in the thing that we do. And it's very possible for us to get, like Martha was here, to get all anxious and worried about what's going on and miss the very point of why we're here. We have to have doers. Without doers, we can't really even be a body. You can't be a church. You can't be an organization without some doers involved. But when we do it, we have to do it with the right attitudes. When we do it as a servant unto the kingdom. When we do it as a servant unto, because what this means, what this, when it says, where was it? Yeah, left me to do the serving alone. Basically, that's the ministry. That word is the same word that can be used for ministry. It's left me to do the ministry alone. She's feeling left out because she's doing the ministry, but there's no one helping her. Her sister is over there just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. She's just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. She's not doing anything. She's not helping me. See, it's that attitude that he was speaking about. Because, see, I know what it's like. In other words, a while back we used to do home fellowships. And when we would do home fellowships at my house, I mean, it was... When it came time to get ready for this, ready for that evening, I mean, it was all hands on deck. I would get just so driven to get everything perfect. And this didn't have to be perfect inside the house. Every blade of grass outside had to be perfect. I'm telling on myself, Carlos. Because if it wasn't perfect, it might upset somebody. If it wasn't perfect, see, that really wasn't about what somebody else was going to say. It was about how I would feel about myself instead of about what God was actually doing. See, there's no power of the Spirit there when all we're doing is working out of our own selfishness. What we have to do is, like, it's not by power, not by might, but it's by the Spirit, saith the Lord. What we have to do is engage the Spirit of God. No matter what it is that we're doing, we have to be in concert with the Spirit of God in it. Should we strive for excellence? Absolutely. But we shouldn't be driven by it. There's a difference. When we're driven by the excellence, we're missing the very point. We're missing the very one who is coming to be with us. The shirt says, God is good all the time. But we will miss that if we get so encumbered with the doing that we forget why we're doing it. It's very possible to get very driven with the doing. I can remember that there was a season in my life where I was working 50, 60 hours a week, doing counseling in the evenings, and then still praying 20 hours a week because I had disciplined myself with all these things. And it was wonderful what God would do in this time of counseling. It was wonderful what he would reveal for different people. But the truth was, in my heart, I was doing all these things and I was resenting it. Don't look at me that way. Don't look at me that way. Don't be just disappointed. But the deal was, I was doing all this, and I was being driven by it, and actually, for parts of it, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed what the result was. I enjoyed seeing how people were being helped. I enjoyed that part of it, but deep down inside me, there was still something that was wondering, what about me? up until I had an encounter with God. When I had this encounter with God, because see, one of the things is while I was praying, I would be praying and it would be wonderful. I'd just sit down in the morning. There was a season that was just so wonderful. It was about 18 months long. I would just sit down on my couch and he'd just begin speaking to me. And I would write it down. And as I wrote it down, I didn't necessarily consciously even think about what he was saying to me. I was just writing it down because I was just transcribing it as quickly as I could get it. And so as I would do that process, then I would come back later in the day and read it. Well, sometimes when I read it later in the day, or I would come in, I would join into this counseling session, I would recognize what he told me this morning is exactly what this person needs. I didn't even have to think about my answer. All I had to do was open up my notebook and just read to them, and it was already what they had already described. It was already the answer they were looking for. I didn't know. In some cases, I didn't even know they were going to be there that day, so I couldn't have prepared an answer, but God was preparing something in me. But there was during this time, there was a day that I had an encounter with him. And when I had this encounter with him, he began to show me all the actions that I did. And as he showed me the actions, he showed me the intention of my heart in the actions. Don't ask for that. If he shows it to you, that's awesome. But because he showed me some of the actions that I did that you all would be clapping and cheering and happy for. And he showed me my heart in it. And it was anything but something that would be pleasing to the Lord, because it was done in a spirit of competition. It was done in a spirit of jealousy. It was done in other intentions besides the purity of serving the kingdom. The purity of lifting up the gift that he gave me and utilizing it for the kingdom and for something besides my own selfishness. And then he showed me the things that I did that were wrong, but my heart was in the right place as I did it. And he showed me that even though that I was in the wrong, my intention was such that he could rejoice with me over it. That was much better than the first part. Then the third part came where he showed me the things that I was doing and the resentment of my heart. That's where I became really aware of the resentment. And as he showed it to me, then he began to unveil what was happening. And he showed me this one particular person who then took what was done in the counseling and began to minister to their husband. And the husband began to minister to someone else. And that someone began to minister to someone else. And that someone began to minister to someone else. And this word that I was part of delivering became something that went all the way around the world. And I had no understanding of it. And from that moment forward, there was no resentment. There's been no resentment for those things. Why? Because I understand that God is releasing something that was far beyond my ability to even measure. I wasn't actually headed this way when I started all this, but that's okay. And that's the thing. When we're busy doing, we need to look at it outside of ourselves and look at what is happening in the kingdom. When I'm doing something, I need to be doing it because there's something in me that's answering something in the kingdom. And as it's answering something in the kingdom, then it's no longer about me. It's no longer about my four. It's no longer about this selfishness that is inside of all of us, because I'm including you guys in it, because I can't be by myself. And so in all this process, we need to recognize that God is doing something outside of us that's bigger than us. And when we do it that way, see, if Martha had been in here, instead of slamming the cupboards around and throwing the pots and pans on the door and smashing the dishes and everything else that she was doing, stomping her feet, saying, "Somebody come and help me," she'd been doing it to the kingdom. She could have been doing it without distraction and still receive from the Lord everything that everybody else was getting. She would receive from him everything that everybody else was getting. Whether she was actually able to hear all of it or not, God, the Lord would have made sure she didn't miss anything. But she was busy trying to manipulate God. Has any of you, don't even raise your hand, has any of you tried to manipulate God? Lord, if I do this, will you do this? Lord, I need this. We got to understand God is here. He's more than gracious to bless us. He's more than gracious to be with us. He's more than gracious to make sure that everything that we have need of is taken care of. But we don't have to manipulate Him into doing it because it's His heart. And ultimately, we can look at this situation and say that just a chapter before, He fed 5,000 people with two fish and a couple of loaves of bread. Did He really, really need Martha to make sure that this meal happened? I think He was able to take care of the situation. What He needed was her heart to be captivated, for her heart to be whole in her pursuit of Him. Because, see, the distraction was keeping her from being whole in the pursuit of Him. The distraction was keeping her from being receiving all that God had for her in the moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we choose Him, when we make Him our yes, then by making Him our yes, see, that's what this word is about, protecting our yes. When we make Him our yes, then that says no to a whole lot of things. When we make Him our yes, then we're automatically aligning ourselves with the action of the kingdom. We're automatically aligning ourselves with the intention of the Father. We're automatically aligning ourselves into the place to be receiving grace. Was Martha receiving any grace? She could have, but she didn't. It was available to her, but she wasn't operating in it. When we allow the Lord to speak into our heart, we can align ourselves in the grace that He comes with. Every instruction of the Lord will come with the grace to complete the assignment. And as it comes with the grace to complete the assignment, we can relax and rejoice in it. Why? Because now it's the power of the Spirit that is going before us instead of just our own efforts. It has so set me free this year to recognize that everything that I do, if I'll just release the Spirit of God to go before me, if I'll release the Spirit of God to go before me, it will change things on our behalf even before we get there. That I don't, and I can tell you the burden that has come off of my shoulders, because now I don't have to carry it. It gets carried by the Lord, or it just doesn't get carried, and I'm okay. And everyone's okay. Yeah, the other ones in my family don't have to worry about trying to clean every blade of grass, everybody, just to get ready for our home fellowship. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Amen. We want to protect our yes. Do you know, when you decide to get married, you give one person your yes. Do you recognize that that one yes automatically means that there's 7 billion people in the earth, 7.7 billion people in the earth. So that means that your yes is actually a no to probably 3.7 billion other people who might otherwise been your mate. Your yes is going to set up a lot of no's. You thinking about that or what? I mean, you really got quiet and still for here. I'm not quite sure how to read that. Sounds like, but it was done in a positive way. But when we say yes to one, when we say yes to one thing, then we're saying no to something else. Because if we don't say no to something else, there sooner or later there's not enough of us to go around. Right, Carlos? Am I on defeat yet? Because if we say yes to everything and everyone, then we don't have, at some point, we no longer have the ability to fulfill all the yes. had a discussion with a pastor friend of mine one time, and he was frustrated because there was a person in his congregation who would say yes, but never complete the assignment that they said yes to. And so I said, well, actually, you're looking at it wrong. The issue is not why they say yes. The issue is why aren't they saying no? Because they weren't saying no out of fear of rejection. They weren't saying no out of a fear of not being liked. They weren't saying no out of a fear of not being able to fulfill somebody else's mission. But see, there's times when we have to learn how to say no, because our yes has already determined where we're going. And if our yes was to be yes with the Lord, then we can't say yes to everything else too. If I say yes to the Lord, that means I'm automatically saying no to drugs or no to whatever else, adultery, whatever else, the thing that might have been otherwise in my life. When I say yes to the Lord, that means that I'm saying yes to that which is most important, and that means that things that are less important have to take their place. Let me get real with it. See, when we say yes to God, it's got to be something that's not just said with our mouth, but with our action, with our life. When we're saying yes to God, what we're actually doing is opening a door to His blessing and opening a door to His grace. We're opening a door to fulfill what He's already given us as a calling. Because most of the time, when you start saying yes, He'll make your calling evident before Him. But when we do that, we have to actually engage it. When we say yes, that means we're being intentional to engage some part of Him. In other words, if you're not intentional with your relationship with God, every other situation in your life will be intentional about making sure you don't get there. If we start out our day and we're not intentional about when we're going to spend time with God, then what is going to happen is that every other situation in your life will conspire against you to make sure you never get to spend that time. Hey, there we go. Come on. I want to preach it whether you clap or not, okay? But I appreciate the clap. Hallelujah. Because when we don't, if we're not intentional about it, what I used to do, and you may say, well, that's just legalistic, Pastor. No, it was a process of discipline. Is what I used to do was I would actually get out my daytime, remember those little daytimer things you would get? And I would write down the times at the beginning of the week that I was going to be worshiping God, that I was going to be praying. Because if I didn't map it out, it wouldn't happen. And that meant that there were some days that I had to say no to a lot of things. There were some things, well, and there was a season where I said no to some good things because I wasn't part of the men's fellowship for quite a season. Why? Because Saturday morning was my one particular time during the week that I could have 5 or 6 hours dedicated to the Lord all by myself. And that had to be more precious to me than anything else, no matter how good it was or how good it sounded. Because the way that my work schedule was, it was impossible for me to have contiguous hours during the week. So this was the one place where I could have contiguous time to spend with Him. So I made it my priority. See, whatever is important to us becomes our priority. What is important to us becomes something that we begin to do, and as we begin to do it, it reaps a reward all for itself. How I prioritize my life tells me what my yes is about. Whatever priority I put in my life. See, there's something that happens when we begin to prioritize. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 2. us to 1 Corinthians. Nope, 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 17, it says, therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? He's talking about coming into Corinth on his way in and out of Macedonia. And so, or that which I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That there should, with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no at the same time. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. What he's saying there is there's a place and an issue of integrity when we let our yes be a yes. When we let our yes be yes, then that means that creates an issue of integrity for us that stands as a testimony on our behalf. Even when we're not able to complete the assignment yet, it will get completed. He was telling them, because of some other situations, I was not able to come, but I still have the intention in my heart, and it will get done. But in the meantime, let me send you a letter to get you prepared, because that event is coming. I want you to be ready when it comes. Because there's an integrity he was moving in, but he had to let them understand that this integrity is still impelling me towards a destiny, but at the same time, I have to release. I have some other things I have to do in the meantime to get there, but I am going to get there. Your yes sets up your integrity. When your yes comes alongside the purpose of Christ, when your yes comes alongside the purpose of the kingdom, then your yes becomes a part of the testimony of the kingdom. And it should be just as good, just as valid at the moment you say it as the moment it is completed. There we go. Hallelujah. How can I say that? I'm not sure there's a good way to say that. But there's a whole lot of flakiness that goes on in the kingdom where people will tell somebody yes and they have no intention of doing it. That doesn't represent our King very well, because his yes is always for sure. His yes is cemented in the moment that it's uttered, no matter how long it might take to get there. When he gives you a yes, he's not baffling, he's not wavering, he's not vacillating with it. He's already determined it. And so it should our yes be. And I understand, not every time, every situation, is it within our strength or in our ability to do it in ourself, but our countenance and our thought process is to count on him to complete what he asks you to do and what we said yes to. Our integrity should be borne out by our yes. When our integrity is borne out by our yes, then that allows us to have this character of Christ within us. Hallelujah. I'm trying to see if there's something else he wants to say here. See, Paul's integrity was being questioned because he hadn't yet shown up. But they should have already known by the character that he'd already treated them with that he was going to do what he had said. That should be the testimony each of us carry. Whether or not somebody else perceives it or not, that's up to them. But what we can carry within us is an integrity towards the things that we say. And when we have a character and integrity towards the things that we say, that also is befitting the character and nature of Christ that we serve. Is that too much in one time? I see some people thinking about it. Go with me to James. Hallelujah. James is one serious dude. He don't play. Every time I read through James, I don't know whether to get excited or depressed, but it is okay. Because that man, he's just on it, you know? It's like, boy, you challenge me. But here he is. Chapter 5. Verse 12. But above, you know what? Let's back up to 11. Behold, we count those blessed who have endured. See, y'all are blessed. You've endured. You have heard the endurance of Job and seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. And the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. See, when our yes is something other than a positive and assuring thing, then what we are doing is we're opening up ourself and then the care for the kingdom to judgment. It says, do not, he says, above all, protect your yes. Above all, protect whether that, when you're saying yes to something, then mean it, then operate and work in it and work with it. But do it unto the kingdom. Because if we do it unto the king, then we're not doing it for ourselves. If we're doing it unto the king, then that means that we, no matter what happens in the natural right here, then we're able to release and know that kingdom purpose is served. If I'm just doing it unto myself, hello. If I'm doing it unto myself, it's very easy to get disappointed if the result doesn't look like what we thought it would look like. If the result is something less than we anticipated, then we get disappointed in heart because it didn't turn out the way we thought it would turn out. But if I'm doing it under the king and I know this was the instruction of the Lord and I'm just simply walking in it, the result now is up to him and I don't have to try to figure it out or make it happen. I don't have to be swayed one way or the other regardless of what happened. I can just rejoice that God gave me an assignment and I completed it. My part is done. There are some times that I can see, actually, I'm going to put it this differently. There's a lot of times I can see the issues with somebody in their heart. I don't even have to even talk to them or anything. Sometimes I just walk by and it happens. And don't get scared. If God says intervene, I will intervene. Otherwise, I leave it alone. I learned that a long time ago. When he shows you something, because I used to just accost everybody with everything I saw, that didn't really work out well for me. Didn't work out well for them, and that was what caused me to stop. So, because when you see something, then you ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what is this for? Because he'll show you, is it something for you to pray for, something for you to know, or something for you to address? And sometimes when I see it, I say, please don't let this be one that I got to address. I know. Please don't let it be. But in the situation, when you understand what he's doing, you've got to look and let him be the one who tells you what needs to happen. Because if he's just telling you just to know, then you don't go and address and try to fix it. Because if I'm trying to fix something that somebody's not ready to fix, then I'm wasting my time. All I'm going to do is frustrate them and frustrate myself. But sometimes as a pastor, see, you come into this place of pastoring because you want to help people, right? But if I'm helping you and you don't want to be helped, am I really helping you? All I'm doing is being in your face. That doesn't change you. But when you come alongside, when you make it known to me that you're willing and open to hear and to heed and to walk in accordance to what the Lord might be saying, now we have something we can be in agreement with and something that can open up before us and healing can happen. But just because I see something doesn't mean that I have to address it, because if I start addressing it all on my own, all I'm going to do is compound the problem. When the Spirit goes before you, See, when you see something, sometimes the Lord wants you to intercede. Why? Because he wants you to release the Spirit of God into that situation so that they'll be ready to hear the word. I had one situation where he showed it to me, and then it was 9 years later before I was ever able to address it. 9 years. They walked in 9 years later. I hadn't seen them in a little while. They walked in 9 years later, and God said, you can address that now. And I'm like, guess what? I mean, this it's like, you know, 9 years. It takes a little a moment to get refreshed. And he began to refresh my memory, and I was like, oh, okay. But see, when it's time, when their heart was prepared, it was a bam, bam, bam. Deliverance happened really quickly. But their heart was ready for it. Their heart was prepared for it. Why? Because at that point in time, they said, the Lord was just bringing all this to my remembrance this morning. And they, you know, basically, and I was crying out to him for freedom. 9 years later. See, God will get to it. Then we don't have to push it. We can operate with him in accordance. We can let our yes come alongside what somebody else's yes is. Hallelujah. He also said, sir, and you'll not swear, right? So I can remember, you know, saying, because sometimes what he's trying to do is separate us from those things that would keep us from representing Christ well. Remember what Peter did when he was trying to deny Christ. What did he do? He began to swear. He began to do those things which would not represent Christ. They all knew who Christ was and how he acted. So he's trying to create a distance between himself and that. And so what he just jumped in there and began to say things he shouldn't have said. It didn't represent well. God is looking for us to represent him well. I can remember when I first got saved, the first time I helped somebody work on their car and I didn't cuss, and I was like, I didn't know that could happen. I got done with the job and I realized what had happened, and I was like, I was surprised. Because it never happened in my whole life up to that point. See, God has a place for us. He wants us to make our agreement with him. He doesn't want something else coming out of our mouth. When our yes is a yes, it's something, it's an alignment. It needs to mean something to us as well as to him. When all the words of our mouth, when we're adding it to his plan, we're adding it to his power. We're coming into alignment with his authority. Hallelujah. I was supposed to get to in the morning time when you separate out your time. This is the place where it's most important for let your yes be yes. Whatever amount of time it is that you want to separate out. Even if you have to go to bed earlier so you can get up a little earlier and set aside a time. Because I recommend, if it's at all possible, to do it in the morning because you have less distraction. There's less people up and around, less distraction going on. But when you set it aside, you come into this place with an expectation. Come in and begin to worship him with a heart of expectation. But come in and begin to, at first, just simply to set your mind in the same, in the right place. Simply just begin to praise the Lord. Begin to thank him for where you are. Begin to thank him for his presence in your life. Begin to thank him for his goodness and his grace. Begin to thank him for who he is. And as you thank him for who he is, that's going to situate you ready to receive. Because it's really hard to thank God and still maintain thoughts of something else. And then as you begin to do that, then begin to just recount to him, like it says in Philemon 6, acknowledge him, all everything that's good. Because it's acknowledge him with the word, and acknowledge him with who you are and what he said about you. As you acknowledge what the word is saying about you, then that begins to bring a testimony of faith inside your heart. And as it brings a testimony of faith inside your heart, it sets you into place to be entering in to his presence. And as you enter into his presence, then allow him some space to just speak to you. As you allow him to just speak to you, he can, in just a few words, sets you free. In a few words, he can prepare you for your day. In a few words, he can leave a testimony in your heart that will change not only you, but the world around you. That's letting our yes be yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Protect your yes. No, it's not necessary. And Chris, you can block, hold your ears real quick. Yeah. It's not necessary. You know, you don't have to say yes to everything. Okay? You can't say no unless you're Chris. If you're Chris, then that's not the case. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Hallelujah. Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, just show us how to let our yes be yes this year. To let our yes, Father, define us. Because as we allow this yes to define us, Lord, there's a fire and a purpose that is released. There's a fire that comes because why? Because we're able to spend the time with you. We're able to come into that place with you, Lord, where you speak and you release through fire. You speak and you release through your anointing that breaks the yokes, Father. And so, Lord, we just receive the anointing that breaks the yokes today. And we release that anointing upon these hearts, upon these lives, Father, upon every stronghold that is represented in this room, Father. And I thank you, Lord, today for a shifting, Father, of atmospheres in our faith, a shifting of atmospheres in our prayer times, a shifting of atmospheres over our testimony, Father, a shifting of atmospheres being released, Father, because, Lord, we're choosing you with our yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you.